The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga, and our Saratoga All-Star this morning is Pat Kane, who's a frequent co-host on the show, and he's doing double duty today, co-host and guest, so want to wish you a good morning there, Pat.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm doing fine, and looks like it's going to be a good day, and everybody can get out and mow their lawns and take care of the outside work before the rain starts again. We have a very important primary coming up on June 25th, which is a week from this coming Tuesday. Polls are open from noon till 9 o'clock at night. It is a Democratic primary, and we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Some information will surprise you, and some you may already know. Pat, why don't we get started on the most important thing right now, which is smart cities?
Oh, yeah. Rick, I got to tell you, I'm familiar with this because part of my career I spent in we'll call it telecom. I don't know if you've read any of the articles online. There's a new online source called Common Sense Saratoga. And Common Sense Saratoga really takes issues and deals with them from an editorial perspective, rather than just something emotional or I wish it was different type thing. It was They're really doing a deep dive into the information available and going to that. And I was reading their findings. It is unbelievable that a city like Saratoga Springs, while I understand the Smart City Initiative, totally understand it, totally buy into it, and think that, you know, thousands of cities across the country are in the same situation, except if you read the contract, we somehow miraculously ended up agreeing with a vendor that's never done anything the size of Saratoga's project, number one. Number two, the terms of the contract are astronomical. An example, the first wave of the contract is a 30-year contract. Most people never sign a 30-year contract on anything. Yeah. You might get a 30-year mortgage, but that's kind of that's it.
Yeah, and I've spoken to a lot of, a few city officials from, in the area. They've never heard of a 30-year contract. Never. But I want to ask you a question. As far as disclosure, you are not a principal in Common Sense Saratoga,
no.
Correct?
No.
Okay. That's why I wanted to get that. Yeah. Up front. Okay, very good.
Yeah, no, it's but it's very the articles I've been putting out at Common Sense Saratoga are well researched, well positioned. Unfortunately, what ends up happening, I was watching them in the first days when they were starting there, is, you know, your local lunatics are just jumping all over it and, you know, just saying crazy stuff and
of course
getting in the way of what I would consider as good news. So I went online and I read the contract that we signed. Rick, I don't know if we have a legal screener, but this, I think my 17-year-old daughter would know not to sign this contract, right? So
exactly.
So here's the part that I find fascinating. We're signing up with a very inexperienced vendor. We're giving them a 30-year no-cost contract, you know, and then at that 30-year point, we can either re-up or go away. The only person, only entity in that contract that gets the right of approval for another 30 years is the vendor. So the vendor could, you know, again, I don't know where technology is going to be in 30 years, but if you look back at 30 years from today, look back. I don't know about you,
there
but
was
life
no,
has
that's
changed
right.
dramatically.
I want to read. A little note here from a gentleman named Michael Santorelli, who is the Director of Advanced Communication Law and Policy Institute at New York Law School. His biggest one that he's looked at is sci-fi. And he says sci-fi has yet to complete a citywide project anywhere. Yeah. As part of my ongoing research, I track sci-fi's efforts in Santorelli, who follows broadband projects throughout the nation. He said, I have identified a dozen cities that sci-fi tried to work with over the last 6 years. To my knowledge, there hasn't been a successful result of sci-fi's effort on the scale of Saratoga Springs. He also said there were cities that agreed to partner with sci-fi, but then the deals fell apart because he said they took a harder look at the numbers.
The numbers.
And I don't feel Saratoga Springs did that.
No.
And I think it was pushed through by our Commissioner of Finance, our current Commissioner of Finance.
It's too bad. And then there's the contract's, again, a very disappointing contract. If another thing I think that's very important for people to think about is what they call service level agreement, which basically says, you know, this is what we'll do when this happens. And here's the type of service you can expect from us. And you're, you know, whether, for example, usually if someone will say we guarantee to be, in this case, lit fiber, you know, 99.999% of the time, and we'll give you a, you know, 24/7 customer service type thing. Our service level agreement says we have up, this is the vendor speaking, we have up to 120 days to fix dark fiber. 120 days. I don't think most people in Saratoga Springs could live without internet service for 120 hours. And here's this smart city initiative putting its all its weight on an, I think, a very ineffective vendor with terms that are, in my mind, totally unacceptable. And you know, we're just marching down this path. Like, isn't this cool? This is such a, you know, a wonderful thing. I mean, and that's the problem with government today, is that they want to just show you the shiny object and take your eye off the what's really going on. And Smart Cities Initiative is I commend it. That's great. How we're going about it is absolutely foolish. Now, Google is struggling initiating smart cities initiatives in cities around this country. What do we think that sci-fi is going to do? And the legal jargon within that sci-fi contract, they've established a local sci-fi entity, LLC, is the one we're doing business with, which means they could pack up their tent and go home, and we've got no recourse whatsoever to the bigger sci-fi out there. So that's what they're doing, is they're signing up all these little cities like a Saratoga Springs, or trying to, I guess that's their goal, because they certainly aren't doing it very well, only to find out that if it doesn't, you know, if they fail, they'll just, you know, this LLC will just fold up, and we're sitting there with, you know, with our head in our hands. But
right.
But we're putting this smart city initiative together. We're putting it not on the pole lines, not on Wi-Fi. We're putting it in the sewer lines and micro trenching. Now, if you go look up micro trenching in the Northeast, nobody's doing micro trenching because of the cold.
Right.
I talked to Verizon. They walk away. They just don't do it because
no.
It fails so often.
Right.
Now, if we've got, again, a service level agreement of 120 days, if something happens, you've got to sit down and remember that's 4 months you could be without internet service. Now, no one's feeling sorry for the internet providers now that we all want more, of course, faster speed, so on and so forth. But this is just is indicative of what Michelle and Madigan has been doing here. She's looking at the shiny object and not paying attention to what's going on. Because micro trenching is not the way to go, or put it in the sewer lines. Because guess what happens, folks? When a new home is built or somebody decides they want to upgrade their water system, they have to open the street, go across the street into the sewer lines and or the water lines. Who's going to fix that micro trenching line that has to be cut to get to get into the street?
Well, it's funny you talk about new development, which is ongoing in Saratoga all the time. But it says, the contract says that without access to public right-of-way or the right to access and use the property, there may be an incremental cost of 20% or higher to run the fiber optics to the property that would like the service. So right away, I mean, I know it has to be built into the contract, but I think this goes back to Mr. Santorelli's premise that because of the cost of items in their contract, cities have backed out of dealing with sci-fi. I mean, well, this is just one example.
And Rick, one of the, you know, the greatest points is that you could run fiber right down your street, but it's going to be your responsibility to get from the fiber to your house.
Mm-hmm. Or from that trench, or from that sewer.
The trench, yeah. The sewer, whatever it may be. Or, whatever network structure they're going to put in place. The problem is that this is a poorly designed, poorly thought out contract that we accepted and signed. You know, it goes back to, you said, public right of way. Right now, Time Warner Cable pays the city over $500,000 for public right of way, and it's a licensing agreement, don't get me mm-hmm. wrong, but why would they want to sign up again for when the city's giving away the public right of way? And oh, by the way, if things don't go so well and we decide we don't want to do that, we have to pay them all of their cost plus 10% if things don't go well.
Right. Plus, I mean, these are just little caveats I don't know if people realize. And people may not even pay attention to this because apathy in cities is a very large part of mm-hmm. non-interest by citizens. But we also have to hire a city engineer specifically to oversee this system for 30
eternity.
Years.
It seems like eternity.
And now they pay half and we pay half, but I think the half we pay also includes benefits.
Of course.
So I think they're paying half of the base salary. And as you know, you can add, 55% for retirement pension or retirement
benefits,
and
yeah.
days off and the benefit package. So you're looking at the city's share probably of over $100,000 and $50,000 may be paid by,
Yeah, and what's happened, Rick, is most cities that are heading in this direction are using the current technology, which is Wi-Fi, wireless. So what's going to happen is in other cities you'll see these initiatives going under, and they're going to bring in what's called 5G. Right now, we're all probably at 3G, 2G. 5G is around the corner. The struggle 5G has had at this point is getting it through the walls of the buildings, into the buildings. So there's like so many things. You got to, doctor the technology up a little bit so that it can be done. Well, 5G is obviously more than necessary for any homeowner, even small businesses. But 10G is right around the corner.
Yeah.
Right around the corner.
And well, it has to be. I mean, it's progress in technology is advances so rapidly. I mean, the cell phone we use today, probably 8 years ago, wasn't even in use. No. I mean, technology advances so high.
But, we could beat this all to death every day. But the fact of the matter is, this is just a stupid decision. Absolutely stupid decision. You know, again, it goes back to like, aren't we cool? We have a smart city. The bottom line is we're going about it all wrong. All wrong. I've written Mrs. Madigan letters since last October. You think she's responded? Not once.
No, we're not in her group. She doesn't respond.
But speaking of groups, did you see this whole campaign thing where Matt Jones had Matt Jones is a local attorney who, by the way, represents the city center, oh, by the way, represents the hospital, oh, by the way, represents a variety of different institutions that come in front of the city thing. And I know Matt, and I like Matt.
But the fact
of the matter is there is a financial pipeline, and it's a big pipeline, from what I'll call unorthodox citizens here in Saratoga Springs into Madigan's office. And, I don't know if you saw this, but Matt's an active person. He gives to both sides in all of this, and he's certainly well within his rights to do that. What I find disturbing is, in early March, mm-hmm. he had a fundraiser at his house. I mean, did you see it? I don't know if you saw it in the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in the Times. I saw the Times.
$15,000 were raised at his house, mostly by Republicans or contractors and so forth. So here's a guy who appears in front of city council many times a year, or in front of land use boards, and essentially is the gateway of how to finance somebody's campaign.
Right. Well, and I'll just put it to you here. I know we want to get into it a little bit later, but the hospital is a very, very big issue.
Of course it is.
And it's one that's very heated because there are so many houses around the property that the hospital wants to expand to. And you're talking about, you know, parking lots with the lights and, you know.
Yeah.
And the property's owned by a developer who has donated it to the hospital.
Well, what I understand it to be, the deal is worth $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
$3 million in cash goes to Mr. Collins.
Okay.
And $1 million worth of write-offs goes to Mr. Collins.
Oh, okay.
So there is a lot of money being taken.
Well, the way it was explained in the paper now was that he donated the property. So here you go. But what I'm saying is what's behind the statements?
As far as I know, that there is a money transaction, it's equivalent of $4 million. Now, I don't know I got that from a pretty reliable source, but maybe they're wrong. But my point, I guess, in all of this is it's caused such a political stir because a couple of years ago, they were trying to do this a couple of years ago. The neighbors came out, got shot down for a variety of different reasons, and now it's back.
Yeah.
And the people like Meg Kelly, who had a fundraiser over there, saying, "Oh, I'll protect you. Where's Mrs. Kelly now?"
Yeah,
she's on yes.
Now, I think the commission's going to have a problem because Commissioner Frank has already stated that he has to abstain from the vote because he's an accountant for the hospital.
No, I think he's an accountant for some people on the...
Okay, well, somebody told me yesterday he has accounting, and I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I was just told
that. But I know that in the past he has represented
some of the homeowners
okay. in that area.
And I think we're going to have an abstention from the vote from Commissioner Madigan because of her relationship now, which is a financial one, with the attorney for the hospital, Matt Jones. So I think she's going to have to abstain from the vote also.
Well, just this week she's had to go in and readjust her campaign finance information because she now is paying Matt Jones, I think, in excess of $4,000 or $4,500 to host the fundraiser. Now, you know, you and I have both been at a lot of fundraisers over the years. If you're you know, going to start spending $50, I mean, roughly there's apparently 75 people there. They're spending...
Right.
$5,000, $5,000 to host that many people. Doesn't sound like a pretty good fundraiser to me, unless you're bringing in Daddy Warbucks, which is what happens here.
Right.
She's bringing in people that are writing $1,000 checks that are developers in the community. This is why the hospital is in the position that they are. They've got a woman who's literally major fundraiser is the attorney who represents
the hospital.
Now, I love the hospital, don't get me wrong, but there's vacant land out in front of the hospital that they're not even approaching. Instead, they're going to encroach on these people's investment of their homes to put a parking lot in.
Now, these are not cheap homes, and the property value is going to plummet. You had mentioned donations, and I've got a little list here that I'd like to explain to people. The city attorney donated to Michelle Madigan's campaign. Now, there's a primary. Two Democrats are primarying each other, Commissioner Madigan and Patty Morrison. And I don't see how a city attorney can... donate money to either one. If he donated to either one's campaign, I would not feel comfortable.
Correct.
Many of the commissioners, current commissioners, have taken money out of their campaign to donate $500 apiece to Ms. Madigan's campaign.
Yeah.
$3,500 was raised from outside the city donors. $350 was donated by two attorney groups that are contracted by the city to represent the city in all different legal matters.
This is pay to play, man. This is pay to play.
It's amazing. And I really wanted to tell the, well, I'll get to the attorneys and who they are. Fitzgerald, Morris, Baker, and Firth, and Nolan and Heller, one's from Albany, one's from Glens Falls, and they are supposed to work in the interest of the city in lawsuits, and they donated to Commissioner Madigan's fund.
I think she got money from a PAC, didn't she?
She got money from a PAC.
I mean, here's a woman who vehemently stood up in 2017,
mm-hmm.
and said, no PACs, this despicable PACs. But, you know, now when we're looking for campaign finance, well, PACs aren't so bad.
Right.
PACs aren't so bad.
Exactly.
You know, it's the two-face. You know, when I want to say something bad, it's I can say it, but when it benefits me, I can say just the exact opposite.
Right.
And this woman has done this every single time.
Well, here's some more donation groups that really tell the story. 15 building or contractors donated to Michelle Madigan's
campaign
fund. Pay to play.
Pay to play.
This isn't pay to play, but $1,100 were donated by the Dakes, who own the Stewart Shops.
Sure.
$1,000 was donated by Tom Ruin. Now, these last two are big Republican,
mm-hmm.
and they're donating to the Commissioner of Finance.
Mm-hmm. Well, a Democrat.
Right. Tom Ruin, and Tom Ruin Real Estate has donated $1,000, who's one of the largest real estate agencies in Saratoga Springs, but has a lot of the contractors and builders in the town. And Adirondack Trust Bank donated over $1,000, and they do a lot of business with the contractors. And
in the city.
Because they are the Bank of Saratoga, as their advertisement says. I just find this, Todd Chimkus, the executive of director of the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
Some of these people should stay out of donating money to one candidate when you're involved in some of these positions. The builders and contractors, that just goes to show who she's catering to.
Yeah, let me bring up one point that I think really says it all. In 2017, when the Charter Commission at that point came out, and she, Mrs. Madigan, and Skip Scirocco, and John Frank put an advertising campaign not for sale, right? Because mm-hmm. the Charter Commission got a lot of money donated by a governmental group that supports the idea of having a city manager.
City manager.
Right? So here are people who just 2 years ago stood there and said, not for sale. And here's Madigan's pipeline coming from an attorney who represents the vast majority of people going before the city. And then anybody else, as you can see it. But let's think about this. I mean, you're having a fundraiser, a Republican guy, fundraiser at his house, the Ruins, the Newkirks, you name them. They're all there writing checks. Are they because they love Michelle Madigan? No, they're buying their way into City Hall.
Exactly.
And that the Democratic Party really needs to step up and say, here we are, you know, the Republicans are buying the Democrats.
I would say so. And there's a correlation here. There's so much going on that, if you could just get people to understand. There's a lady running against a Democrat for public safety mm-hmm. this fall. Robin Dalton's her name, who has no political experience whatsoever, not even one iota. But anyway, that's fine. There's I'm going to call it a story, but it was told to me by someone that was involved in the situation, that Mayor Kelly, a Democrat, Robin Dalton, the candidate, Republican candidate for public safety, met with, and Michelle Madigan, met with the Republican commissioner, the county Republican commissioner. And I have no idea. I have some idea why that was that meeting was held between Democrat and Republicans. It said that Robin Dalton's official, or her main goal is to become mayor. And Mayor Kelly has said that she would help her achieve that goal.
What about Mrs. Madigan? Remember, October, second week of October, Michelle Madigan came out in the paper, "I will not be running for Commissioner of Finance."
Right.
I think her memory is pretty short because, "I will not be running for the Commissioner of Finance," was her statement. Well, guess what? She's running for the Commissioner of Finance yet again. But I want to couple things I want to, move along to. Obviously we've covered the hospital, this campaign finance thing, which is an ongoing battle, and I think Mrs. Madigan needs to either recuse herself or even step down. I'm not quite sure on how, because of this money that's coming in droves, much more than a normal campaign would have in Saratoga Springs. So we've also talked about the smart cities. The other, I feel like, there's an ad department for the city, and the marketing department, because out comes these outrageous statements that have no facts, or they're just a guess. And I'll give you an example. Maybe, of course, right along in election season, we come out and it's an unaudited version of the facts. But I like to stress that these were unaudited, that we have $1.9 million surplus. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
1.9. Well, that's pretty good. Well, we're supposed to have a lot more than that, a city our size, from the state's perspective. The same outfit, Common Sense Saratoga, found out that $2.4 million is still owed to the city by local taxpayers, and we're not collecting. I mean, it's one thing if somebody's behind a year, they may have, had a death in the family or trying to settle an estate or whatever. You understand a little, the 1 year, maybe even the 2 year type situation. But we've got debt dating back to 2009 from people who are successful business people in the area. And we're a developer, a businessman. Again, going back to this, not some little old lady on Oak Street. These mm-hmm. are big, successful contractors and businessmen that are able to just skip paying taxes for up to 10 years. That to me, and then we're getting this excuse, well, I collect 95% of it. Well, 95%, I understand, is a good statistic. If that's in fact true, I don't think it's true, quite frankly, when $2.4 million is still out there and climbing. We have 1.9 surplus. So I don't think anybody with a simple education couldn't balance the books in Saratoga Springs with the influx of sales tax revenue, the taxes coming in from new home sales or older homes being resold. Tremendous amount of tax dollars comes in that way. But to give you an idea, Wilton, our neighbor to the east,
mm-hmm.
what do you think their surplus is? Now, they have no town tax. What do you think their surplus is?
I don't know.
$10 million.
And no tax.
They collect no taxes from their city residents. They have a $10 million surplus. So if Wilton, New York, collects little or no taxes whatsoever, can have a $10 million surplus, and here we have a cash cow called Saratoga Springs, and we're bragging about 1.9. I mean, and that's just money but we continue to spend, and because there's no transparency in City Hall,
right?
We're bragging about 1.9. We're leaving 2.4 on the table because we're unwilling to go out and collect those taxes.
Well, here's one of the things that bothers me. Now, there's nobody. And I mean nobody that's in favor of tax increases.
No, why would they?
But it's a healthy thing to have a small tax increase every maybe 3 years.
Yeah.
Prices go up, mm-hmm. or costs go up in the benefit packages of the city,
sure does.
And the normal doing business in
right.
the city. We haven't had a tax increase since she's been in office. And she continues to use her rainy day fund, this fund you were talking about.
You're down to
about.
$1.9 million from a city that's at the what I would say a pinnacle of success between home sales and sales tax revenue and so forth. We're like, where are we at? 1.9, 2.4 on the table that we're not collecting, and we're bragging about that.
Yeah. And previous commissioners have said this, but here again she says, well, who are they? They're not finance commissioners. I don't want to get off of this because there is so much topic here, but I just want to mention somebody texted me some information on the Independence Party's debate last night.
Oh.
Which ended up being canceled, but they did advertise it the night before.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be held Friday night, which was last night. They did have an advertisement Thursday that it was going to happen between Commissioner Madigan and
Patty Morrison.
Soon to be Patty Morrison. I want to give you a little background of this, and you can also, we'll talk about this for a minute, because politics in Saratoga Springs was always a one-party control for 100 years or more. And because of the influx of the population, for the first time in history in Saratoga County and Saratoga Springs itself, Democrats now outnumber Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting to be very hard for the Republicans to even think about what to do, because mm-hmm. they don't have the people in office to do that or on their committees. But the Independence Party is supposed to be a party like the Republican or Democrats. However, they haven't put a candidate up to run for office for maybe 13 years. All they do is endorse candidates. Well, they endorsed Commissioner Madigan back in the very, very early spring. Matter of fact, there was probably 8 feet of snow on the ground yet. Then they decided that what they were going to do was have a debate, host a debate between Commissioner Madigan and Patty Morrison. Well, anybody in their right mind, and let me backtrack a little. Eddie Miller, who's the chairman of the Independence Party, and I stress independence because I don't want to get people to get it mixed up with the independent, because if you're independent, you have no party affiliation like myself.
Mm-hmm.
He works for the city, so Ms. Madigan signs his paycheck. His girlfriend is one of Commissioner Madigan's best friends. So they obviously...
There's a lot more coming out about these people.
Yes.
Being shortly, but these people are up to no good.
Right. And there is going to... And I don't want to bring it up today.
Right.
But there is going to be shocking news that's going to come out. So anyway, anybody in their right mind that would want to debate Ms. Madigan in this format, hosted by the Independence Party and Eddie Miller, would have to be out of their mind. I don't even think that Governor Cuomo, who I don't really care for, would want to debate under those circumstances. So they were calling Patty Morrison some really bad names, said that she didn't know, she was afraid to debate because she didn't know what she was talking about. And I don't think Ms. Madigan knew what she was talking about when she ran for office the first time and got elected, until she had that learning curve and
yeah.
knew what was to be worked on. So Here they are attacking Patty Morrison, number one, for not knowing anything as the reason why she didn't win a debate, when in fact any sane person wouldn't even look at that debate. I mean, so they ended up canceling it and not having Madigan show up to discuss her platform.
Probably because nobody would have come.
Well, that's probably it. There were probably three people there, Eddie Miller, Miss Madigan, and Eddie Miller's girlfriend. But yeah. In any case, politics in this city is getting very disturbing. I mean,
sure it is.
I know it is all over the country. I mean, politics is changing. But you never think in city politics it would get really dirty, especially in a city the size of Saratoga.
And it's blatant, right? It's right in front of you. The old days when some big benefactor would write a check maybe to the county and the county would funnel it down to the individual candidates, you know, that was the old school politics, I guess. Now it's blatantly obvious that the votes are for sale in City Hall.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Jones is channeling nearly $20,000 into Michelle Madigan's campaign finance. Eddie Miller, I mean, it's a clown show when it comes to guys like Eddie Miller working in the, you know, he's the Independence Party chair. Oh, miraculously, he must be some gifted person. He gets a job in the water department because he endorsed Skip Scirocco.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
So now all of a sudden he's a paid city employee. He's running a political party that I don't think has any meetings whatsoever. I think it's just he and his girlfriend talking over coffee in the morning.
And a hot dog.
Yeah, and a hot dog.
But
this is a clown show.
Well, here's what my belief, and I said this before, so it's not a surprise to anybody listening, but I believe with all these political parties, the Working Family Party, I'm an independent, but I'm conservatively leaned socially and morally, and I probably should be a registered conservative or maybe even a libertarian, but I don't want to be affiliated with a party. But if you don't put a candidate up, you shouldn't have the right to be on the ballot.
Right.
If you don't endorse a candidate outside, but don't be on the ballot.
Now, I was hoping there is legislation out there now that is going to eliminate those kinds of parties for a variety of different reasons. Because what they're doing is all these people are turning themselves into political junkies that get jobs within local or state government because they have this perceived power. Now, believe me, we all could do better without as many of these parties that literally have no active committees that are providing any public good. It's just that they resurrect themselves every 2 or 3 years and say, hey, come, let us, give you a ballot line.
Right.
Like, that's just got to go. And it, ironically, at the state level, both parties want to see them go because it's just a distraction. It's a clown show.
And people vote, most people, not all. I mean, straight party line voting really is becoming a thing of the past. People vote for the candidates, and party voting. So it doesn't matter if you have two. Maybe throw the Independence Party in there. I mean, the man that ran against Governor Cuomo, they got quite a few votes.
Sure.
But at least they put a candidate up.
Yeah. No, this is all, again, pay to play. This is just like it's happening in the Madigan campaign, it's happening in our city government as well.
Sure.
It's pay to play. Eddie Miller's got a job in the water department plus benefits, probably about $100,000. He ran a hot dog stand. That's why I call him Hot Dog Eddie. He was embroiled in a controversy several years ago about where he could put his hot dog stand. He had it in Congress Park. Then when Skip Scirocco came in, Skip banned him from the park. I find it so ironic that in 10 short years, he's gone from almost hatred to now he's one of his employees.
That's
and
right.
Gets endorsed by him on a regular basis. Joanne, his girlfriend, Eddie Miller's girlfriend, head of the Housing Authority.
Right.
Hit 1,000.
And here we go, best friends with Joanne, or with Michelle Madigan.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to give a call, 518-580-5783, 518-580-5783. And if you, and you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM radio here at Skidmore College, and we don't expect everybody that's listening to agree with what we're talking about or maybe parts of what we're talking about. But if you want to call, give us a call. Don't be afraid that we're going to, put you down. Any debate is a good debate because you learn things. And I would encourage someone to call, even if they don't agree with us, at 518-580-5783. I want to go back, and I'm bouncing around here, Pat, but I want to go back. This is from the Saratoga blog on the Times Union. And it says, residents near hospital to speak out against neighborhood zoning changes. And it's dated May 16, 2009, at 1:25 p.m., a Jan Martinez. I don't know Mr. Martinez. I've conversed with him on different sites before. But in this blog, which we'll get to in a second here. Good morning, caller.
Hey, it's Nancy.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to comment on you were just talking about the quasi-debate that never happened between Patty Morrison and Michelle Madigan.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing was a joke from the beginning. I mean, Chad Beatty was supposed to be the moderator. He ended up dropping out. I don't even think he should have been the moderator. He is the owner of the newspaper that had placed the ad. So immediately it was a conflict of interest. The whole thing was bred in circus. It just amazes me, some of the antics and the stuff that goes on in town. I mean, none of this stuff should be allowed. And I mean, I understand that finding a moderator who isn't biased is difficult in a town this small, but certainly there must be somebody who is not political at all that could be doing this kind of stuff. But it's just shady. It's shady politics. It doesn't speak highly of Michelle Madigan, which, you know, shouldn't be a surprise to anybody at this point who's paying attention.
You know, I agree, Nancy. And I, as we said, Saratoga politics is getting a different face on, and it's really not a good one. It really isn't. And people in the area notice this because a lot of times it's in Capital District papers or it's on TV. And I go back to the charter change when a couple commission members, especially Ms. Madigan, got up and ranted and raved about people voting for the charter when the commissioners should never have gotten involved in the first place. I mean, their job is to maybe discuss at the table civilly about it, but not to get up and rant the way she did. And I mean really rant. It was embarrassing. And it was noticed by quite a few people in outside the area. So it's just getting crazy. And we do agree. I mean, we did agree with you on this supposed debate.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't know if Nancy's still on. The thing that probably is the most telling of all of this, aside from the debate issue, is the idea is that, you know, here we are, we're sitting here as a city bragging about our $1.9 million surplus, yet we're not collecting the $2.4 million. And, oh, by the way, this champion of finance is not raising our taxes.
Right.
Can you tell me when the last time our taxes were raised? We had an episode back maybe 8 to 10 years ago when VLT revenue, which was playing a significant part of our budget at that point, was taken away by Governor Patterson at the time. I don't know if you remember that.
Well, yeah.
It was about $1 million.
Well, a little more than that.
Was it a little more?
I think a little more than that.
Okay.
Because, and I will say this, and Ms. Madigan has alluded to the fact that we had cut employees and eliminated some services, and that would never happen under her watch. But that, I think it was between $2 million,
okay,
that was taken away from us in the middle of a budget year.
Okay.
So that money was in the budget to be used for specific purposes. So at the time, it was Commissioner Ivins. What did he have to do? What could he do?
That's right.
It was in, if it was before the budget, you can make adjustments. So he had to have layoffs. He had to have the department heads cut back on services a little bit. And then you could change it the following year because they did reinstate
it. But I will say that in that same transition from that finance commissioner to our current one, is the surplus in the city government's coffers was more than we have right now. So this champion of finance walked in the door with, I believe it was a $4 million surplus. Again, we're now down to 1.9. We're leaving money on the table. It's a comedy. But because of the fact that we don't have much media out there, Rick, it's like, here, I'm going to release something to the press. They put it in the paper. They're not back-checking this and making sure. They're not asking difficult questions.
No,
they're not saying, why do you have $1.9 million surplus in lucrative Saratoga Springs, and Wilton, which collects no taxes, has got $10 million in surplus? We don't have anybody doing that.
Well,
because of that, she's putting out statements like, I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread when it comes to finance.
Right.
Well, sweetie, I don't think you are.
The only thing that I've heard is that we all know that Wendy Libertor is a really good reporter who reports in the Saratoga County area, does a lot of reporting in Saratoga Springs. She's been maligned by many in the Madigan campaign as being a non-journalist, slandering Ms. Madigan, not checking on her facts, being turned in to Times Union.
Mrs. Madigan frequently calls the Times Union complaining about Wendy because Wendy's reporting what's going on in Saratoga Springs, which stinks to high heavens when it comes to behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And the only way you ever find out about this stuff is through people like Wendy. But of course, Mrs. Madigan wants to keep it all to herself and doesn't want to, no transparency whatsoever.
Right.
Here comes Patty Morrison, who I think is going to do very well a week from Tuesday. And hopefully this crap is going to stop.
Well, I can't remember who. The person that told me this, and I got a little bit of it, was, and I can't think of her name right now, but she was Joanne Yepsen's executive secretary.
Oh, Gail LaSalle.
Gail LaSalle is the one that had said that. Some people had told me she said some things on a blog. Some people told me she said some things. I think she may have told me a few things in one of the things that, on Facebook. I can't remember. But I want to get back to just what this Jim Martinez, and like I said, I don't know what he does.
He does nothing.
All right. It said on May 16, 2019. Talking about the hospital, and this is part of his comment. He said it should also come at no surprise that successful city hospitals grow with the growth of the population, and these residential condominiums and apartments were part of that growth. I just want to give him some figures, and he can check them out very easily. According to the 2010 census, the population of Saratoga was 26,586.
And we'd grown by 400 people since the last census
right.
at that point.
And which I don't understand myself, how we could only grow by that low of an amount of people, but yet have all this building. And the only terms I come with that is that number, why it hasn't changed much, are part-time residents.
Sure.
People who buy condos or buy these houses, go to Florida probably for 6 months and a day so they can avoid paying taxes here in the state, and they pay Florida taxes, which they don't even charge state tax, I don't think. But it's so you've got a person who tries to make a point here that could have been checked out easily, and it wasn't. So this is what's going on here in Saratoga, that there's figures, and and ideas floating around that have no basis in fact. They're maligning Patty Morrison, who has been above board on everything. She goes out of her way not to be uncivil. I mean, it's, and most candidates would fight fire with fire, and she hasn't. She's a very smart person, makes a very, very good school board member, and, oh, and by the way, I wanted to tell you, there were three candidates running for the Board of Education who ran as a team. There were more candidates that ran, but these three ran as a team. Robin Dalton, and who's a candidate for Commissioner of Public Safety, was part of a group of women that had raised over $35,000 to support these three candidates in promotional material, political material. Well, out of the three, only one won a seat on the board. There were two other people that won a race. Now, the main thrust of these three people that ran as a team was that they wanted to bring guns in the school. Not guns, but armed guards in the school. Mm-hmm. Only one of those of the three won. Now, last week, Mayor Kelly appointed this gentleman to a land use board, I think. And back in the fall, the city council, the board of the Board of Education, voted against having armed guards in the school. This group came at the council and asked the council to overrule and make a law that school districts had to have armed guards, and they couldn't do that. I mean, it was infringing on another board's action. Well, she appointed one of these three people to a land use board, so if something comes up with the Board of Education, who is going to represent the city on that? This gentleman, of course.
Yeah.
And you wonder if that is why he was appointed to the land use board.
Yeah. I don't know.
You can't figure. You know, they always say you can't make this stuff up.
Well, that's true. It's so true. And as I said, you know, we're sitting here, thankfully, having someone who will run in opposition to one of the city council members at this point. And I'm hoping her. I wish her well, because I think there's a lot to be answered by Mrs. Maddock. But she wouldn't answer all these questions. But
no.
If you get a chance, Rick, go to this site called Common Sense Saratoga.
Okay.
That's commonsensesaratoga.com. It's on Facebook. And read the articles that are well written, well researched, not opinions, facts. I mean, they have a wonderful piece in about this foolish telecom deal, or what we'll call smart cities deal. It is absolutely perfect, showing not only the contract itself and links to it, but also they went back and did research, and they provided research on these points. But Common Sense Saratoga is not some hatchet job that you might see by a blogger in town.
Right.
It is all about, here's the facts. It's large fundraising opportunities like what Matt Jones and Michelle Madigan have going. I mean, $20,000 it's a big deal.
Well,
it's a pay to play, but it's not just making accusations. They give you the facts behind it, and let you make your own mind up.
Right.
And I think they're going to have more, but it's time we start to shed some light on some of these things, and not just be told like, "Hey, we got $1.9 million surplus."
You know,
and we should have $10 million surplus.
Right. And one of the things is that. We won't lose anything if Patty Morrison's elected.
Oh,
a very smart lady who's been involved in big companies and has worked in the financial fields of big companies.
Yeah.
She's been on the show, so people can listen to the blog of her appearance by going to SaratogaBroadcasting.com, Talk Saratoga podcast page, and you can listen to back shows if you want. Just one other thing. That we talked about, you don't have to be the first in everything when you're a city. Meaning, you don't have to be the first city that this fiber optic company, Sci-Fi, has a successful contract with, which is not a great contract.
Right.
Sometimes wanting to be the first is not good.
Right.
And as Mr. Santarelli said, there were a bunch of other cities that backed out of the deal.
Deal smells.
The same deal that
it
we
smells.
Have. Cause
it
smells.
It reeks.
So there's something there, and you have to just follow your nose. Now, I do want to say this, that I sent a letter to every commission member on the Democratic commissioners.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the year that 2 years ago when Ms. Madigan, I feel, defamed my reputation.
Sure.
And, you know, that's even questionable because I don't know if my reputation could be called defamed because I'm still active in the area. People still like me, and there's probably some that don't.
Some of us love you. Some of us love you.
Yeah. I love you too, Pat. but I thought they should know, giving her attitude as a commissioner from the table and yelling at people that don't agree with her. You know, I talked to Mark Lawton, who Ms. Madigan wanted to throw out of a meeting the other night, and she did, okay. And he, you know, I mean, he says, hey, you know what I put up with. And it's just, I just wanted to send that to him to back up how she's acted during her course on the table. Now, I probably would never hear from anybody on the commission, and that's okay. You know, I don't expect them to call me up and say, hey, that's terrible, I agree with you, and I really don't, but I just wanted them to know. And, I mean, you know, the Democratic, County Democratic Commission donated $1,000 to her campaign, and I just wanted them to know, that's all. And
Well, her behavior personally is just reprehensible.
Yeah.
She's a public figure, she's elected by us to represent us, and then she, you know, defames you on Facebook. She, you know, you've seen these videos. I mean, I'm sure they'll be dragged out again. But you know, you watch her behave in city meetings when there's citizens there,
I know.
Young people there. Watch her behave like that. It's so erratic. It really does bring up.
Well,
but I want to before we leave, I want to add one thing. Where the heck is City Hall's renovation project? I mean, you hear everybody's backing. You know, we'll get right on this. This is what they said last August. Now, I think they just awarded this week the contracts to renovate City Hall.
You're kidding.
No. So this week, I think we've got an HVAC contractor. We might have an electrical contractor. But I don't know about you, but it's going to take you a long time just to put an addition on your house. Here we're rebuilding the entire infrastructure inside City Hall, and we think we're going to get it done, and we've waited this amount of time to award the bids.
One of the other things that someone texted me that to be brought up, and unfortunately we can't do it, maybe we can talk about this in the fall, even though it's current, the construction on Broadway, on the streets.
Yeah.
You got streets blocked off, you got things ripped up. We got a week and a half.
You know why it's tight? The sewer lines were so clogged that the new construction going on in Saratoga Springs downtown could not happen because they had no sanitary sewer lines that were operable at this point.
And you have the track opening.
Oh yeah.
In 3 weeks. I mean,
so poorly, you know, and that goes back. We'll talk about that when we talk about Mr. Scirocco. But the city's just run by the seat of their pants. They disseminate information based on whatever they think that people want to hear. It's not necessarily factual, nor is it even quantifiable.
No.
But it's all about, hey, let's get some voters, let's get some money, you know. And it's the common person that's just going off to work every day, taking care of their kids, that type of stuff.
I've got to get.